Greetings to Lesson 14 on Journey Through the Word of Yahweh. Let's begin with a prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise you again for this wonderful day, for life that's more than abundant. We thank you for opening our eyes to your wonderful word through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. And thank you, Christ, for all that you gave us, that you gave us your life, and all you ask is that we live for you. And we intend to live for you for this day and this moment. And we submit ourselves to your authority, your words, which are our Father's word, and not to the traditions and doctrines of men. And through you we come to the Father. Thank you, Adonai Yahweh. Amen. All right, this is part 3 of the Gospel of John, which we will continue. Another distinction in the Gospel of John is that in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Yahushua, in his ministry, appears to go to Jerusalem only once. And that's portrayed in Matthew chapter 20, Mark chapter 11, and Luke chapter 19. Well, in the Gospel of John, it appears that he has been to Jerusalem 3 different times. So that would be in John chapter 2, John chapter 5, and John chapter 12. So that makes a distinction. So we have to understand what is the significance of that mystery. The one great subject of this book, and this is what we really miss, you know, by making Yahushua Yahweh, is the one great subject of John is the Word of Yahweh. The word logos, and that's the Greek word, the actual Hebrew word is dabar, D-A-B-A-R, is used 40 times in this book, in the book of John. And we're going to see why, what significant this is. In John 17, verse 6, it says, I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and to me thou gavest them, and thy word have they kept. Whenever we say thy word, we mean the word of Yahweh. Let's look at verse 14 of John, the same chapter. I have given them thy word. What was the mission of Christ? Why was he sent? To give us the word of Yahweh. In verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, hallow them in the truth. Thy own word is truth. So the message, the grand message of John is the word of Yahweh. When I say the word, it's the word of Yahweh. But we must understand simple things. It's one of a figure called personification. Personification is a figure of speech. Personification means giving human characteristics or attributes to an abstract quality, animal, or inanimate object. So we just know that, let's just for example, we're very aware of personification in the book of Proverbs. So let's just go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. And we'll see very simple personifications, which we never take literal, and we're never confused. And so many times what we do is, by reading the scriptures where men have directed us, we lose the meaning because we take what is figurative as literal and miss the personification. So in Proverbs 1, verse 20, we read a simple personification on wisdom. Wisdom in the open place soundeth forth, and in the broad way she raiseth her voice. Well, we just got the word she and her in there. Why? Because in Hebrew, wisdom is feminine. And so now what Yahweh has done to raise our attention is he's personifying the word wisdom and giving it to she and her. Well, we know there's no God out there called wisdom, because even though it says she and her. All right, we know understanding is the same way. Let's just go to Proverbs 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry aloud, and understanding send forth her voice? Well, understanding has got a her voice. We have no problems with that either, all right? Because we know that's figuratively, that's a personification. How about the word of Yahweh? And we're going to see, and most of the time, since people don't read or really, they don't have a Rotherham Bible, they're missing great personifications, and that is of the Word of Yahweh, which the first usage it's used is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. And let's just go there with Abram. And it says, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, "After these things came the word of Yahweh unto Abram in a vision, saying." Well, here it is. The word of Yahweh, saying. Now, we know that is not literal, because the word of Yahweh can't say anything. But this is a personification of the word of Yahweh speaking to Abram. It also says in verse 4, "And lo, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying." All right, so very simple. So I think it's used over 250 times, the word of Yahweh saying, in the Old Testament. So we know in the word of Yahweh saying, to it said it, the word of Yahweh spoke to Samuel in 1 Samuel 15:10. The word of Yahweh spoke to Solomon in 1 Kings 6:11. To Elijah, 1 Kings 21:17, to Isaiah in Isaiah 38:4, to Jeremiah 1 verse 11, to Ezekiel 6 verse 1, to Joel in 1:1, to Jonah in 1:1, to Micah in 1:1, to Zephaniah in 1:1, to Haggai 1:1. So it's an idiom. The word of Yahweh came saying. Obviously, when we say the word of Yahweh, it means Yahweh. But it will say it in different ways. The word Yahweh came saying, and another place it will say Yahweh said. So let's just look at another figure, which is Haggai 1 verse 1. In Haggai chapter 1 verse 1 through 3, we're going to see a little story here. "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first of the month, came the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Pasha of Judah, and unto Yahushua, son of Jedidiah, the high priest, saying." Right, so we look at a whole thing right here. The word of Yahweh came by the hand of Haggai unto Zerubbabel. Right, so we see a whole continuation here. And then it says in verse 2, "Thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying." And we go on to verse 3. "This people have said, not yet hath come the time for the house of Yahweh to be built. Therefore hath come the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying." So we see the word of Yahweh came by the hand of Haggai. So that's a figurative too, to the individual. And we're also going to see in verse 12, the voice of Yahweh. "Then hearkened Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yahushua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnants of the people, unto the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, and unto the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their Elohim has sent him. And the people stood in awe before Yahweh." Unto the voice of Yahweh their Elohim. So we see many terms. These do not make separate entities, because we say the voice of Yahweh. That is not a separate entity from the word of Yahweh came saying, and so on and so forth. So we need to go back to the foundation of how revelation is received, which is so sad, because our translations have really hurt us, and especially the men who have been teaching us have really hurt us. If you ask most people, where did the scriptures come from? They're going to quote Peter. "Holy men of God spoke as they are moved by the Holy Spirit." Came by the Holy Spirit. Well, let's just see what the scriptures says, where the scriptures came from. And our first, approach will be 1 Kings 8:15. It's going to read, and this is Solomon speaking, and he said, "Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who spake with his mouth unto David, my father, that which his hand he hath fulfilled, saying." So how did he speak to David? with his mouth unto David. So Yahweh spoke with his mouth unto David. Very simple. There's no word Holy Spirit there. Let's now go to 2 Samuel 23. Here's some other terms that are used in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse. Yea, the oracle of the man raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Jacob, the delights of the songs of Israel. The Ruach of Yahweh spake in me, and his word was on my tongue. Said the Elohim of Israel unto me, spake the Rock of Israel. So we have now, all synonymous, the Ruach of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, and the Rock of Israel all spoke to David. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 6. And this is how Yahweh spoke. Then called Moses unto all Israel and said unto him, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the regulations which I am speaking in your ears today. So shall you learn them and observe to do them. Yahweh our Elohim solemnized with us a covenant in Horeb. Not with our fathers did Yahweh solemnize this covenant, but with us ourselves. These here today, all of us living. Face to face spake Yahweh with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Well, how, on the Ten Commandments, they were given face to face, spake Yahweh unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I was standing before Yahweh and you at that time to declare on you the word of Yahweh. For you shrank with fear from the presence of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who have brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. So he spoke, Yahweh spoke to the people. So we must realize that Yahweh is where the words of Yahweh can come. So the word of this book comes from the mouth of Yahweh. And a figurative can be the Spirit, but we know all the way through here. Let's look at Exodus 3, verse 4. It's just a direct conversation. And here's Exodus 3, verse 4 with Moses. And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, so Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Behold me. So we see that Yahweh is speaking to Moses out of a thorn bush. A very important part that associates with this is Numbers 12, verse 5 through 8, on how Yahweh communicated to Moses and how he communicates to other people, the prophets. But we've got to remember this is our foundation, and so people automatically go to New Testament scriptures and they're missing the whole message of the whole history of how Yahweh speaks. So in Numbers 12, verse 5 through 8, Then Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forth. Then said he, Hear, I beseech you, my words. When ye have your prophet, as Yahweh in a vision will I make myself known unto him. In a dream will I speak with him. Well, who is speaking? It's Yahweh to the prophets in a vision. Not so, my servant Moses. In my house, trusty is he. Mouth to mouth do I speak with him, and plainly, not in dark sayings. And the form of Yahweh doth he discern. So we know Moses, Yahweh, spoke mouth to mouth. So we must realize it's the mouth of Yahweh. Let me just show you one other illustration. Isaiah chapter 40. So Isaiah chapter 43, verses 3 through 5. And this is a familiar verse. A voice of one crying, In the desert prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make smooth in the waste plain a highway for our Elohim. Let every valley be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the steep ground become level, and the chain of hills a plain. Then shall be revealed the glory of Yahweh, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken. So, We don't see the word Holy Spirit in any of these verses. The phrase mouth of Yahweh is used over 50 times in the Old Testament. So let's just keep that simple. When people say, where do scriptures come from? We say it came from the mouth of Yahweh. Very simply. Now, we're going to go into John 1, verse 1. And this is a great enigma, but very, very simple when you take a look at it. This would be covered, as we said, in the paper called Decoding the Gospel of John. It's handled in full. So I always recommend that you go and read the paper because we can't cover everything that's in the paper. That paper can be found in Volume 1 of the Telios book on page 451. It's called Decoding the Gospel of John, a study of John 1, 1 through verse 18. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy 18, verse 17, and read it. And Yahweh said unto me, they have well said what they have spoken. A prophet will I raise up unto them out of the midst of their brethren, like unto me. And I will put my words in his mouth, so that he shall speak unto them whatsoever I shall command him. This is a great portrayal of our Savior, and here he is called a prophet, and he's coming out from the brethren, which is the truth. You know, he's of the seed of David. This is Moses recording this, and in verse 19, and it shall come to pass that the man who will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of him. All right, so we see this quoted, all right, and it's foreshadowing the prophet who is going to be like Moses and who is Yahushua, which is recorded in Acts 3:22. We'll go there to make sure we're talking about the same person. In Acts 3:22, Moses indeed said, a prophet unto you shall Yahweh Elohim raise up from among your brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken, respecting all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. So it's always the word. What is the purpose of the prophet? The purpose of the prophet is to speak the words of Yahweh. And it shall come, in verse 23, and it shall come to pass, every soul whatsoever which shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So there it is. And if you see in verse 26, who is this prophet? Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant, having sent him forth ready to bless you when ye are turning away each one from your wickedness. So, the prophet we're going to see in the Gospel of John is Yahushua. In John 17, 14, his purpose was to give the word. And so the word is in the Greek is logos, but logos is masculine. So it's a Greek word that's masculine. And so in Greek and in Hebrew, things and inanimate objects are also masculine and feminine and neuter. So we must read that. So when I see a word, a pronoun like he or she, it doesn't mean that it's a male or a female. And just to give you an example, we'll go to Gi. Gi is where we get the word earth. Geology, that G-E is in there, is a Greek word for Gi, and it is feminine in Greek. And so we'll go to Revelations 12, verse 16. And we're pretty familiar with this. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth is G-E, helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. Well, so there's a personification also that the earth opened her mouth, and her is feminine. Pronoun, which understandable because G is feminine. Agape is feminine. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. You'll see it referred to as her. Pneuma, which we get our word spirit, is neuter. All right? Paraclete is masculine, and this is where we get the word comforter or advocate. And logos, obviously, is masculine. So when these things, we see the pronouns, that does not mean it's, you know, the pronouns are not dictating whether it's a human or a non-human, all right, or a being of some kind. So let me just show you one example of the translations, and how they'll change the pronouns to fit the teachings of men. So we'll go to John 14, verse 16, and we'll see something here. Remember, paraclete is masculine in Greek, and so any pronouns associated will be masculine. And so John 14, verse 16, the Rotherham will translate the Greek text correctly, while most other translations will not. They'll change the pronouns to fit doctrines. And so when you see in verse 16, remember, paraclete or comforter, Rotherham's going to translate advocate, will be masculine, so it'll be a he, but spirit will be neuter, which is it. Anytime you see he with spirit, somebody has changed the pronoun from neuter to masculine. So John 14, 16, and I will request the Father, and another advocate, that's our subject, will he, the Father, give unto you, that he, the advocate, may be with you age abiding. The spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. Now we change from our subject from advocate to spirit, which is pneuma, which is neuter. Let me start over verse 17. The spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it beholdeth it not, nor getteth to know it, but ye are getting to know it, because with you it abideth, and in you it is. So we know in this case, spirit is all it. And that's correct. Those are the correct pronunciation in the Greek text. We'll see it also in Luke and many other places. In the other translations where it's he, in all those places, they have changed the text to fit the doctrines of men. For English readers, because English readers associate, when something says he or she, they associate a human being or a being of some kind, which is not done in Spanish and other languages. But in Luke 8, verse 29, we're going to see spirit again. For he was about to charge the impure spirit to come out from the man. For many times had it snatched him away. What snatched him away? Well, the impure spirit. Well, spirit is neuter, and that's why the pronoun associated with here is it. And in this case, they will not change it to he, but they leave it as it. So we got to remember our translations are flawed, except for the Rotherham does a very good job, except when they start capitalizing words, which gives it new meaning. He was a Trinitarian also, to the best of my knowledge. Now we're going to go to the word of Yahweh is Yahweh. So this is important when we get into John 1:1. So let's go to Jeremiah 1:4, and we're going to say the word of Yahweh came saying, and then we're going to say Yahweh said. Alright, so we know that the word of Yahweh is Yahweh. And so in Jeremiah 1:4, it will say, so then the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, alright? But in verse 7, it says, then said Yahweh unto me. Okay, now, the word of Yahweh is speaking to Jeremiah. Now, Yahweh is speaking to Jeremiah. And in verse 11, moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, so now we got the word of Yahweh speaking to Jeremiah. And in verse 12, then said Yahweh unto me. Now, we got Yahweh speaking to Jeremiah. So we can assume that the word of Yahweh is used for significance, and also Yahweh said is used for significance, but they're one and the same. When the word of Yahweh is speaking, that is Yahweh speaking, but it's going to be termed differently, and that's the beauty of how our Father writes. Whenever we say the word, it is short for the word of Yahweh. So whenever you hear the word word, you can add of Yahweh when it is used. Remember the account of the sower and the seed, where the sower sowed the word. Well, the word of who? Well, it's, you know, it's automatically implied the word of Yahweh. That's Matthew 4:14. The world, let's go to Psalms 33, verse 6 through 9. And we're going to see Psalms 33. By the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. It didn't say, by Yahweh were the heavens made. It says, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and by the spirit of his mouth, rook of his mouth, all their host. Who gathereth as into a skin bottle the waters of the deep, delivering unto treasures the roaring deeps. Let all the earth stand in awe of Yahweh. Of him be ye dread, all you inhabitants of the world. For he spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood forth. So we're going to see, remember, John is about the word of Yahweh. So we know that the word of Yahweh came into existence, right, by Yahweh speaking. Now we go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Now traditionally, this is just a mess, 1 through 18, what the doctrines of men have done for thousands of years. So what we're going to do is we're going to correct it and show you very simply how it can be done. All right, and we've got to remember many of the pronouns have been changed and so forth. You know, to validate a teaching by the doctrines of men. But we're going to see, remember it's logos. Logos is masculine, and so the pronoun is him. So what we're going to do is, when a pronoun is him, and is representing a noun, which is the word, we're going to change the word, the pronoun from him to the word, which is very easily done. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Originally was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. The same was originally with Yahweh. All things through the Word, we're changing the pronouns now, came into existence, and without the Word came into existence not even one thing. Well, we saw that in Psalm 33. That which had come into existence in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. No problem here. So we put the word where him was. Now, we know that wherever we can add the word, we can add of Yahweh. So when we speak of the word, originally was the word of Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh was with Yahweh. All right? So now we're going to add of Yahweh to every place where we put the word. In the same verses, originally was the word of Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh was with Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh was Yahweh. Well, we've all been validated on that. The same was originally with Yahweh. All things through the word of Yahweh came into existence, and without the word of Yahweh came into existence not even one thing. That which had come into existence in the word of Yahweh was life, and the life was the light of men. This completely agrees with the Old Testament, what we just learned. Now we're going to skip verses 6 through 8 because they're dealing with John. So we'll get right back on to the word again, which began in verse 9. John 1, 9 to 13. Again, I will replace the pronouns with the noun, which is the word. The word was the real light that enlightened every man coming into the world. In the world, the word was, and the world through the word came into existence, and the world knew the word not. Into the word's own possession the word came, and the word's own people received the word not home. But as many as did receive the word gave unto them authority, children of Yahweh, to become unto them who were believing on the word's name, who out of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of Yahweh were born. All right. So what we're going to do is now, we're going to do the same thing. Every place where we put the word, we're going to put the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh was, the light that enlightened every man. Amen. Coming into the world. In the world, the Word of Yahweh was, and the world, through the Word of Yahweh, came into existence. We know that in Psalms. And the world knew the Word of Yahweh not. Amen. Into the Word of Yahweh's own possession, the Word of Yahweh came, and the Word of Yahweh's own people received the Word of Yahweh not home. But as many as did receive the Word of Yahweh, the Word of Yahweh gave unto them authority, children of Yahweh to become, unto them who were believing on the Word of Yahweh's name, who were not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh were born. All right. So this section of Scripture is really beautiful, because what we're going to see from John 1:1 to verse 13 is a representation of the Father. So remember, whenever the Word of Yahweh is used, that is Yahweh. All right. We're going to see Yahushua come in verse 14 as the Word of Yahweh. And why was he the Word of Yahweh? We know in John, well, let's just go ahead and read that. John 14:24. John 14:24. He that loveth me not doth not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Well, it wasn't the word of Yahushua that he was speaking. It was the word of Yahweh. In chapter 12, verse 50, John is full of this. So he is the word of Yahweh, starting as verse 14. And the word of Yahweh became flesh, and pitched his tent among us, and we gazed upon his glory, a glory as of an only begotten from his Father, full of favor and truth. Yeah, we know the word of Yahweh became flesh. That is Christ, and he's called the word of Yahweh in the book of Revelation. Well, we better go to there quick. Hold on. In Revelation 19, verse 11 through 13, and I saw heaven set open, and lo, a white horse, and he that was sitting thereon, called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diamonds, having a name written, in which no one knoweth but himself, and rayed with a mantle, sprinkled with blood, and his name hath been called the Word of Yahweh. So there it is. Christ is the Word of Yahweh, because he spoke everything that the Father spoke. Chapter 12, verse 50. And I know that his commandments is life, age abiding. The things therefore which I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. So you always see, whose words is Yahushua speaking? Yahushua is not Yahweh speaking. He is Yahushua speaking the words of Yahweh. Very simply, this was not incarnate Yahweh coming and just makes a big mess of everything and really slanders them. But you get to see the beauty of the submission of the Son completely submitting himself to the Father, which Adam and Eve refused to do. Yahushua did, in order that he could become the Savior of the world and seated at the right hand of Yahweh, which he has earned. Chapter 14, verse 10, we get to see, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The things which I am saying unto you from myself I speak not, but the Father within me abiding doeth his works. So he's still speaking what our Father is telling him to speak. This is the Gospel of John. This is the message. Not that God became incarnate, abode in a virgin's womb, and then came out sucking his thumb, who was Yahweh in disguise. All right, but it was the Son whom Yahweh had been waiting for the right conditions to go ahead and redeem the world unto him. The whole purpose of creation was coming through to Christ, right? Because of his existence, because of his achievement of what he accomplished. Now we go to Hebrews 1 verse 1. We'll get to see this also portrayed. chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Here's the word of Yahweh again. Whereas in many parts and in many ways of old, Yahweh spake unto the fathers and the prophets. And at the end of these days, he has spoken unto us and his Son. Well, there again is when he speaks is the word of Yahweh. He has spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he hath made the ages. Without Christ, the link between Yahweh and man, there was no purpose to our existence. The Gospel of John is a record of Yahweh sending his word, which is his life, which is light and light to Israel, through his only begotten Son. Yahushua was an exact representation of Yahweh's very being. Why? Because he only did the Father's will. So we must look at John, this John 1 through 18, very simple. The word of Yahweh is Yahweh. So we got from chapter 1, verse 1 through 13, this is all dealing with the Father. Chapter 1, verse 14, the word of Yahweh then is born, which is Yahushua, his Son. So we have a Father and a Son, which is the climax, is in John 1, verse 18. No one has seen Yahweh at any time, and only begotten Elohim, the one existing within the bosom of the Father, he hath interpreted him. So how did he interpret him? By his word and his living his will. So we know that the Son was existing in the bosom of the Father. He's called an only begotten Elohim, which other men have been called Elohims also. He hath interpreted the Father. That is the message of John. I'll conclude this study on the Gospel of John. I recommend that you read the papers, but its conclusion on the end of our paper on the Gospel of John is the enigma. Yahweh's Word is composed of 66 books. The Gospel of John must be understood in the light of the other 65 books and not vice versa. In the Gospel of John, Yahushua is not a high priest as he is in Hebrews, who had been tempted as we have been. He is not a king as he is in Matthew, who received an offering, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In the Gospel of John, he is not the servant as he is in Mark, who is seeking solitude and is experiencing grief. Yahushua is not the man as he is in Luke, who descendeth from the line of Adam and who is dependent on the Father in prayer. In the Gospel of John, Yahushua is presented as he is in the book of Revelation. He is the Lamb, glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father, running the universe. We have not attempted to explain the difficult verses, but to bring notice to them. A warning has been sounded to rightly divide the word of truth. The Gospel of John is an enigma, a difficult book, and must be treated as such. It is a treasure chest of gems if understood in the light of the other 65 books. If someone quotes from the book of John, our ears should perk up and we should take warning to be slow to speak. Let us not make the same mistake Yahushua's disciples made in John 21, verse 21 to 23, when they misinterpreted Yahushua's words. If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to thee? Ye be following me. This word therefore went forth unto the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Howbeit, Yahushua did not tell him he should not die, but if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to thee? Was Yahushua's statement an enigma? Yes. Was his words misinterpreted? Yes. As also as many have been the Gospel of John. So we must take the Gospel of John as a wonderful book of many figures which we've got to decipher and come to it. But we go ahead and submit it to the other 65 books and not the 65 books to the Gospel of John. So we'll end with the prophecies from our Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. And my sons and daughters, know of a surety that you are called to be in high places. You are seated with my Son in the heavenlies, because I have placed you there. You have not placed yourself there, but I have placed you there, because I love you as a father does a child. So at all times, come to me, knowing that I hear your supplications, I hear your request. Bow down to me, and I will exalt thee as I did my Son, Yahushua Mashiach, my Son of glory. Amen. And we'll see you on the next lesson.